We get to do some group participation to start the sermon today. When I watched you all walk in, I could tell how introverted and shy and sleepy many of you were. So we are going to wake up here a little bit in just a moment. But I want to plant a question for inside of you. What's the best gift you've ever received? Just think about that for a second. For the last several weeks, we have been talking about habits and how habits kind of determine the course of so much more of our life than we will ever admit. We can drive home from work without even thinking about the directions that we take. We probably set the table much the same way, all the way down to how we fold our socks. We have habits that we picked up and then we just kept doing. One of the descriptions of habits that I have heard that I love is, habits are decisions we make and then stop making, but keep doing them. One psychologist says that up to 40% of what we do every day is determined by habits. You are ahead of the curve if you can start every day knowing that 40% of what you do will be done correctly right away. And you are in a big old ditch if you wake up every day and already know that you have gotten 40% of the questions that you will face wrong. So what we have looked at over these last several weeks, and will today as well as next week, is how is it that we can invite God into that other 40% and get further down the road of following Jesus than we ever thought that we could. We've said that habits are more than just a decision. Willpower is never, ever enough. It's a process. It's a cumulative value. It's the momentum that carries us forward. So what's the best present you've ever gotten? You know what it is? Can you think of something? Maybe when it was a little kid when you opened it up under the Christmas tree, or maybe it was this last year when you finally had a Lexus December to remember. Maybe that's what happened to you. I don't know, but what I'd like you to do is stand up, and I want you to find two people that you maybe don't know and just go share with them what that present was. So just right now, go right ahead, everybody up. Let them know what that present was. All right, you guys can exchange business cards and phone numbers after worship. This last Thursday was one of my favorite days of the year. It happens every year on this Thursday. It's the opening round of the NCAA tournament. And whether you like sports or not, which is just fine either way, I love to plop down on the couch and watch basketball from noon until midnight. Now, I will admit, I rarely watch college basketball during the season. But when it comes time for that tiny little school that you've never heard of to go and beat a team like Duke, I am glued to the television. And so that was no different than any other opening round this last Thursday when I sat there and watched the games and cheered and yelled and got excited, cheering for people I'd never even heard of, defeat teams that they had no business being on the court with. But I had a little obstacle that I've run into for the last month or so. Our little boy Clive loves remote controls. I mean, he loves remote controls. And I thought I had tricked him. You know, I'm smart, and he's not quite as smart as I am yet, given a couple more weeks. I went to the other room, and I found a remote that doesn't work. And I took the batteries out. And he picked up that remote that I had given him right in the middle of one of these big games in the last few moments. And he looked at it and proved to me that he was smarter than I thought. He didn't want this remote. He wanted the one I hid behind the tissue box. And so he crawled and he reached and he cried and he pushed. And being the sucker that I am, I just couldn't help it. Right in the end of the game, I reached back for the remote that he wanted. And you know what I did? You gave it to him. You just gave it to him. Honest answer here. Have you ever given something to somebody even though you know they're going to do the wrong thing with it? Have you ever given to somebody that you care about even though you think, I don't know if they're going to be really good stewards or what I'm going to share with them? You still give it to them anyway. We do that, don't we? Sometimes we might feel guilty about that, and I'm sure there's a boundary that we ought not cross and just fuel someone's addiction for 30 years. But when we want to meet the needs of the people that we love, that we are around the most, that is more than just being a good parent. That is just more than wanting to generate a smile from a little kid. That is our way of living out the fingerprint of God that is impressed upon all of us. When we are willing to share, to give, to bless with someone around us, that is our way of taking on the character of God. Nothing aligns us with God more than generosity. Nothing aligns us more with God than giving that gift to a person around us that we love. Nothing aligns us with God more than handing something to someone with a sense of wonder to where you can tell they appreciate what it is you have given. Jesus knew this, and he spoke about this as clearly as possible in the book of Matthew. Excuse me, I wrote that wrong. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, what we see here is Jesus giving a master plan for us to be people of generosity. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now look at this next line. I love this. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Growing up, did you ever ask mommy, daddy, what's for dinner? They often told me, get out of the kitchen, or you'll just eat what's in front of us, or there's starving kids in China. But you know what they never put in front of me? Rocks. Jesus says, if your little kid asks for something to eat, if someone is hungry, none of us give them stones. We give them bread. Or if he asks for a fish, do you give him a snake? Now, we can be a little excited every now and then, but we are not an Appalachian Pentecostal snake-handling church. So snakes are not offered as a gift from God. If we ask for a fish, that's what we're going to get. We're not going to get a snake. Now this is where Jesus turns the tables on us. If you then, who are evil, the you is y'all there. That's you, that's me, that's all y'all. You, y'all, who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Do you see the contrast Jesus is setting up here? We who are broken, we who are sinful, we who are even evil, as Jesus describes, who miss the mark so often. If someone asks for bread, we give them bread. We don't give them stone. If someone asks for fish, we don't give them a snake. We give them what they ask for. If we're willing to do that, how much more will God bless us? How much more will God give to us? How much more will God be generous? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. What do we call that in the vernacular? The golden rule. For this sums up the law and the prophets. When Jesus uses the phrase the law and the prophets, that's the entirety of the Old Testament. If you look, if you got a Bible and you see that first two-thirds that's thick with all those names and all those wars and all those things we don't understand, you can sum it up this way. Do unto others what you'd have them do unto you. When we give, when we are generous, when we share and when we bless, we are taking on the character of God. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, we see a story that three world religions build their entirety upon. You see the story of this guy that's literally standing out in the desert by the name of Abraham. It's what we would call modern day Iraq. And it's in this area that God comes to him and he says, I want you and your wife Sarah to take everything you got and throw it over your shoulder. And I want you to head to this country that I am going to give you, that later we would call Israel. And I'm going to do two things. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. He says, I'm going to bless you so that you can be the blessing. In the Quran, in the Old Testament, in Christian scriptures, all three of these stories are told almost identical to where God says to Abraham, I'm going to be good to you so that you can be good to others. I am going to share with you so that you can share with others. I am going to bless you so that you will bless others. Christian theology says that that fulfillment of the blessing of the world was fulfilled in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a big word there. I'm going to bless you so that you can bless others. When I was a little kid, my parents would get on to me when someone would sneeze around me and I did not say what word. Bless you. Do you all know how that came about? In the Middle Ages, they believed when you sneezed, you were vulnerable to demons. And so you were given a blessing in order to keep the demons out. That's how you do it. God bless you. To bless is to speak and to will the best for someone. To bless is to take those words of encouragement that we share and to take that physical action of service that we have and to bring them together. And so when we hear the word bless in our faith, it's more than just bless his little heart. He doesn't know any better. When we bless, it is a verbal and spiritual authority that God has invested in us that we pass on to other people. We have been blessed by God so that we can bless others. This combination of encouragement and service is kind of the pinnacle of Christian ethics, as Jesus says, that you do unto other people what you'd want done unto you. Words and actions that lift us up. Well, I don't know about you, but I miss the mark on that every day. I miss the mark on that every single day. The words that come out of my mouth are not always the most encouraging. The thoughts that I express through my action are not always the most encouraging, and they're definitely not filled with service. You know, I wish I could tell you that I had a whole bunch of habits of blessing, but I think I've got a lot more habits of negativity than I'm willing to admit. Many people would just be grateful to have a job. You know what I mean? You have a friend that's desperate for a job. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard someone complain about their job. We are blessed, but we practice the habit of negativity. You can go through the way that we have family issues. You can walk through all the ways that we have to deal with difficult people. But I bet if there was a YouTube of your day, what came out of us would be filled with more negativity than blessing if we were willing to admit it. And we miss the mark. And we have habits that take us in a place we'd rather not go. Many years ago, we lived in Western Illinois. And when we would drive Reese over to drop him off at his dad's in Peoria, sometimes we would drive back through the big city of Galesburg. Raise your hand if you've ever been through Galesburg. You haven't missed anything, have you? God bless Galesburg. Well, being the romantic type that I am, it's nothing but the best for my wife. And so when we would be in Galesburg, we would stop at the Sirloin Stockade Friday night all-you-could-eat steak buffet. There is some cholesterol doctor that is going to make a lot of money off of us someday. And they had, you not only got all you could eat steak, you got all you could eat all this other stuff. It was all fat-free. It was all carb-free. It was great. It was fully nutritious. And we would sit there and just eat and eat and eat. Well, one time, after what amounted to like a, you know, stake lack of sobriety, we are driving on 74 to hit 34 to make our way back to Western Illinois. And I did the unforgivable sin. I missed the exit. Now, if you've never been on 74 north of Galesburg, do you know what's there? Nothing. Nothing. I went to the best that I could find on Google's Maps, 9 miles before there was a place to turn around. And every, you know, I knew what I had done wrong. Marissa had pointed out that I had missed the exit. We were on our way northbound on 74 the wrong way. But here's the deal. Even though I knew I had gone the wrong way, even though that I had made a mistake, I still had to find myself a spot in order to turn around. And even though I had the knowledge of my mistake, I had to have an action plan to get myself back to where I was. You see, this is why habits are more than awareness. This is why habits are more than a decision. It is a pathway. It is a consistency. It is an ability to recognize where we are and then have the courage to allow God to do something about it. So for all of you who are off track or heading the wrong way, it was going to take a lot more than willpower. It is going to take a lot more than simply saying, you know what, I made a mistake. Well, congratulations, you admitted you've done wrong. We don't get extra credit for that. We need habits and a path and a direction in order to end up where God wants us to be people of blessing to those around us. I had a buddy of mine that got audited this last year, and he said it was the second most painful thing he'd ever gone through in his life. And so he had to account for every single penny, every single dollar for his small business, every receipt that you just kind of throw away on your way out the door. He had to be able to produce all of that. And it was anxiety producing for him. What if you had that kind of audit on your habits of blessing? Think about what it is that you offer to the world. Think about the way that you live the golden rule. What if you had to sit down with a spiritual auditor and answer this question? Am I giving bread and fish to the people I love? Or am I giving stone and snakes and saying you should just be grateful for what you have? Are we offering bread and fish to a hungry world? Or are we offering stones and snakes and saying you just need to learn to be grateful for what you have? We align ourselves with the heart of God when we bless, when we give, and when we share with the people around us in a way that what they receive from us is what we long to get back from them. What I want to give you this morning is a simple list, an action plan for habits of blessing. Now, nobody's going to look at this and say, oh my gosh, that's the most amazing thing in the world. But if you can walk through these handful of habits, you are going to find a pathway to living the golden rule. You are going to find a pathway to offering fish and bread to a hungry world rather than stone and snakes and telling everyone that you should just suck it up. I had the first one is born right out of my experience this last week. Marissa and I know a couple that have a young child. They spent 36 hours in the hospital with a four-month-old, and it was anxiety-producing and fear-filled. Well, when I heard about that, I said like a 15, 20-second prayer for them. And when I ran into them later this week and saw that he was doing better and that life had kind of leveled out for them, I just said, you know, Marissa and I had prayed for you. Her eyes got this big in appreciation that someone had prayed for them. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't go out into a field and pray for them for 30 minutes. I sat down for a second and offered a prayer of blessing for that little baby. And I wish I could tell you I do this all the time, but I don't. I was praying for you has the ability to be a pivot moment of blessing for someone's life. And I want to encourage you to put a period at the end of that. I was praying for you Don't add, I was praying for you, because I know you're not, you hell-bound heathen. It's not going to work. Don't say, I was praying for you for that big mess you made of your life and you should know better. Nah, nah, nah. Don't say that. There's no caveat. There's no scold. There's no explanation. There's merely the truth of your experience, which is, I am praying God's blessing for you. And the only way I know how to bless you is to lift you up to God. If you go out of your way to let someone know that you were praying for them this week, watch the way that that opens up their soul to the same God to bless them that has blessed you. Now, I did the first one, but I've never really done the second one. I've been the beneficiary of it. I miss handwritten notes. I got to tell you this. I'm a sucker. I still have handwritten notes that Marissa wrote me from when we dated that are like in a box that I've hidden so she won't throw them out. Like, I still have that. There is something in a world of text messages and emails and Facebook statuses and instant messengers that can communicate facts but don't communicate emotion. And I can tell you that there is power in simply sitting down and writing a note of encouragement or appreciation to someone, because as those who has received it but not shared it, you know that even though it took like 2 minutes to do, that there was an act of love behind that. We are in a world where people are desperate to feel appreciated, where people don't get any encouragement at home or at work that they desperately need. Nothing is preventing you other than, what is it, 49-cent stamp now, from offering that note of encouragement and appreciation to another one. The third thing I want to encourage you to try out, and this is harder than you think. You're going to look at this and say, that's easy, and then you're going to go try it and you're going to die. You won't die. That's a figure of speech. But if you do, I will do your funeral. You know, I will. We are gathered here today for putting into action the sermon from Sunday. Being fully present to another person for 15 minutes. When I listen to people, you know what I'm listening for? Them to catch their breath so I can tell a better story. Or sometimes I'm listening to correct. Or sometimes I'm listening in order to kind of understand them better. Not like in a spiritual way, but just so I can kind of get them in a box. Description. There is so much power in simply being present to someone with no agenda, with no course correction, with no need to show them where they're right or encourage them where they're right and wrong and all that. To just be present with someone is what people are desperate for. People don't always have to have their way. People just want to hear their life heard. And in a world where people are not heard, the greatest gift we as the body of Christ might be able to give to people, especially those sitting on that edge of faith, is to be present to someone for an extended period of time. How do I know that 15 minutes is a long time to listen to somebody? Just try to be quiet on your own for 5 minutes sometimes. That can be the longest 5 minutes of your week. But think about where you run into someone at work and they clearly are troubled. And they don't have to be troubled like their life is falling apart and they're going to get laid off. But there's something burdening them. To just be able to share that with someone could be the greatest act of God and service in their week, maybe in their last year. When we go out of our way to be available to people, that is a blessing. And we do this not because it's just good self-help, but because God is eternally available to us. And therefore, as those who have been blessed by God's presence and blessed by the permanence of God's love, we offer that to people around us with no strings attached, with no agenda, but to just be present. And I just want to add this little caveat. I have found in the many years that I've done this, that when I go in with an agenda to talk to somebody and tell them where they're right and what God wants them to do, it never goes right. But when I just go in to listen and to be their friend, God has a way of just taking over in amazing ways. Offer our presence to people. And then the last one is another hard one. Find something that's not your job and do it. Now, I don't mean show up and preach the sermon, but around the house. Maybe you got like a division of labor in your home. All of us are busy. All of us can run behind. What would it mean for you to go out of your way to do someone else's task in your home life just as an act of blessing? Or think about work. Here's the way to make it really hard. Think about the person at work that always needs a pat on the back or tells you when they worked like 30 seconds ahead, like they did the biggest thing in the world. What would it mean for you to bless them by lifting them up a little bit, offering a little bit of encouragement, saying, I will do this simple task for you, is a way of blessing you. Now here's the power, and this is where we align ourselves with God in the most radical way. We don't do it for appreciation. We don't do it so that they'll help me someday. This isn't whatever that pro quo thing is. I can't pronounce it. I'm not a politician in Illinois. It's that thing where you're not scratching somebody's back so that they'll scratch yours. You're not being good to them so they'll be good to you. You're being good to them independent of response because that is what God does for you every day. God blesses and gives to us independent of how good we are to God. So I want to impress upon you the power of blessing to another person where you have zero expectations of return. You see, this is the God we believe in. We believe in a God who serves us. We believe in a God who blesses us. We believe in a God who works and speaks for our best interest, not merely for our own sake, but so that we can pass along what we have received. And if there's a habit that I want to instill into your life, it is a habit of blessing people around you. You know, people talk about that the church in our country is shrinking, which is true, and that the commitment to faith is lagging, which it is. And the people have all kinds of solutions, and more importantly, they have all kinds of people to blame. But if I could put my finger on one thing that will launch a movement of compassion and gospel in this world, it is people who bless others and rid themselves of negativity. I swear, if we did those two things, we would have to go to OHS for three services. If we were people of radical blessing with no strings attached, just as Jesus was to us, and that if we were people of encouragement and positivity and said, God, rid me of all the negativity and poison that's in my soul and dare not let me pass it on to the people around me, in that, we would find the power of habit and the power of God. I want to leave you with a text from Numbers. Moses leaves these words with the Israelites as they are about to make their way into the promised land. And he says this: The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Youth group that I grew up in, this was the prayer that we would recite at the end of our youth group every week. So I want to read it one more time from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We will be people who bless, not when we work harder or try more, but when we are in awe of the face of God that has blessed us. And the more we know God, and the more the way we know that he has blessed us and given to us, we will be compelled to cultivate habits of blessing for others. Will you recite this with me, please? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we do thank you for gifts, for generosity, for blessings that you have shared with us. You have spoken words of eternal encouragement to us, and you have offered us the ultimate act of service through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Oh Lord, as those who are the recipients of that blessing, we are called to turn and share that blessing with others. Oh Lord, when we pray for another person, we bless them. When we serve another person at work or at home, we bless them. When we go out of our way to be present to someone, we bless them. Oh Lord, let that burden rest upon us and grow deep into our soul a passion for you that in turn will ignite a passion for people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.